Hear now the word of God. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it on the lake, while all the people were along the shore of the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching he said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not bear grain. Still, other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times over." Then Jesus said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He said to them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven." Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? If not, how will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like the seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seeds sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they only last a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seeds sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life and deceitfulness of wealth and the desires of other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seeds sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown." So I know if you've been here recently, I've been wearing a suit jacket. This harks back to an old thing that I used to do in my secular job when I worked at the gas company. If it snowed, we wear jeans. And I also wear boots that are waterproof and no jacket because it didn't fit inside of my parka that I was wearing. So that is why I look a little different. Next week, I'll put the jacket back on. I promise. Well, I mean, so even the jeans are pretty casual. So it's like jeans and a jacket. My shirt's on. I mean, it's still pretty long casual at Port Colden, but that's okay. Christmas Eve, I wore a robe, which was far too hot, and something I don't know if I'm going to wear again. I spoke a little bit about it with some of you. This is my first week back in the pulpit or back in church since coming back from El Salvador. And so that trip has been so big and so much happened in those 8 days that I'm still trying to narrow it down and to find a way to experience it all with you and not have you miss out on anything. I'm still working on that, and hopefully in a week or two, I'll be able to show some pictures and share some stories. But I did want to share one story, which I think is applicable for the reading that we had this morning. We went out to this community up in the mountains. It's called the Cloud Community. I don't know how to say that in Spanish.
Nubes.
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 That's cloud. Community is comunidad.
Comunidad Nubes. That sounds right.
Yeah.
So I apologize. So we went to the Cloud Community. We went up this mountain that was actually a volcano, and we drove up this mountain, and we sat with a community that does not receive running water from the government,
and instead has to pay to have trucks fill in these water tanks that provide enough gravity to provide water pressure in their homes. Home is not really the phrase I would use, and like I said, we will talk about that soon. One of the stories that we heard in El Salvador, and one of the ways that poverty has really caused such a struggle in El Salvador, was the fact that throughout its history, El Salvador has had problems with crimes. In the colonial times and in the early history of El Salvador, lavender was the crop that they grew, and lavender was grown down in the valleys. And so what they did was they moved all the peasants and they moved all the people who lived in the valley out and said, you can live on the mountains, you can live in the higher places, the valleys here growing for lavender. And then by the time that the colonial Spanish came and by the time that we moved on a little bit, it turned out that lavender was no longer the cash crop. Now it had become coffee. Now I'm from the shore. I don't know how to grow lavender or coffee. But what I understand is coffee grows at a much higher elevation. And so all the people who were moved from the valley into the mountains were now living on really nice property. So in the cloud community, in the Nuevo
Comunidad Nubes.
Comunidad Nubes. I'll get there by the end of the sermon, I promise. By the time that we were there, I was sitting with a religious leader of a church that goes up to the community, and he was telling me that what happened was the landowners and the rich and the higher class in El Salvador couldn't just move the peasants back down into the valley because they started building their homes in the valley. And so instead what they did was they received titles, they received land ownership in the high places, in the farmland, and then they started doing what's called sharecropping. Sharecropping is when, and again, I'm from Ocean City, New Jersey, I'm from the beach. I have no farming skills or history whatsoever. So when I get farming terminology wrong, I apologize. I know we got a couple of farmers in here. Correct me, and then we'll keep talking. What happened was they started sharecropping, which is where a landowner would own the farmland, and then a farmer would come and work the land, and what they would have to do is they would take their crop, and a portion of their crop would have to be paid as rent to the landowner. So are we looking for a bathroom?
Yes.
So in there, and real quick, I don't know where they turn the water off. Is that downstairs? Is it working now? It wasn't working when I went in earlier.
Oh, okay.
Do you know if the valve is downstairs? Because the sink's also off. The sink is also off. They may have shut it off downstairs. Thank you, Jeff. Sorry about that. So in El Salvador, and it was common in other places, you had sharecropping, which is where a farmer, or usually a peasant, would go onto land that the landowner owned. He would work the land, or she would work the land. And then when the crop came in, when the harvest came in, they would give a portion of the harvest to the landowner as rent. Then they take the other portion and keep them from themselves. If it was wheat or corn, they would eat the wheat or the corn. And then whatever was left over, they would sell to buy all the other things you need in life. And so this is how El Salvadorians were kept in poverty for most of their history. And that's all we're going to talk about El Salvador, because we have to talk about the Bible. But the story is very similar that Jesus teaches this morning. And so I'm going to retell this story in the Gospel according to Jesse, in the Jesse translation of the Bible. It's the same story. We're going to retell it in the 21st century. I am from the beach. We've made that abundantly clear. I am from the ocean. There's salt in my veins. That's where the high blood pressure comes from, the doctor tells me. And so I imagine, I'm going to age myself real quick. I've been watching Me TV when I fall asleep. Hogan's Heroes keeps coming on right as I'm trying to go to bed, right around 10 o'clock. If I get to bed early and I turn on my TV, there's a TV show called Green Acres. I love it. It's been amazing. I've only seen like 5 episodes. And my primitive understanding of this show is that someone, a lot like me, comes to a farming community because he's always dreamed about owning a farm. And then we watch the hijinks of this city slicker trying to be a farmer in rural where. So I imagine this story being retold as the main character from Green Acres. I can't remember his name. It's okay. I imagine myself being the farmer in this story for the following reason. When Jesus stands up and he starts teaching, this is what he says. He says, imagine you have this farmer, Jesse, from the beach. And he goes out to spread the seed and to start farming. And so what he does is he fills his cedar in the garage. Thank you, John. I appreciate that. He fills his cedar in the garage because, you know, that's where the seed is and that's where my cedar is and I have all this space. And so I start pushing the cedar out of the garage and seed starts falling onto the sidewalk. And immediately what happens is all the birds start circling around and the birds start eating all the seed. And then Jesse, the beach bum from Ocean City, starts pushing the cedar over the rocky soil in the backyard of the parsonage. It's that thick, and then all it is rocks. And so the seed starts to grow, and then by the time the sun comes out, it burns the plant, and the plant withers and dies. And then I push that cedar out, and I start seeding the soil that's full of weeds. Now, the parsonage has no weeds in the backyard, but maybe in another place that I push it over. And so when the seed starts to grow, the weeds choke out the seed. It chokes out the sunlight and the water and the soil. And so the plants die. And then finally, I get the cedar over to the good soil. I water it, I take care of it. I know a little bit about farming. And there is where I leave the rest of the seed. Now, I wasted 3/4 of the seed on the sidewalk, on the rocky soil, in the weeds, and all I have left is this little quarter of my seed left that I was finally able to plant. And that's where Jesus ends the parable. He gives us a little bit of a turn that we're going to come back to in a second. That's where he ends the parable. And parables are an interesting teaching tool that Jesus used. In one of the books I was reading this week, the author says that a parable is like a room, which I think is funny that he's using a parable to explain a parable. That's a special kind of unique, you know, head stuff that I like. It's like saying coming into the sanctuary is like a parable. The more time you're in the sanctuary, the more time you can explain the parable. For example, you come into the sanctuary for 10 seconds. The DS and I came in on Friday. My boss, and so we came in for about 10 seconds and went down the stairs. And so if I asked the DS, if I asked my boss what the sanctuary looked like, he'd say, well, there was a couple of pews, and there was an altar up front, and a pulpit, and there was a piano. But the more time you spend in the sanctuary, the more time you're here, you can start to talk about the color of the cushions on the pews. The stained glass windows that are around us, the beige color that the walls are painted, the Jesus up front, the candles, the pyramid colors. The more time you spend in a room, the more time you can explain it, you can describe it, you can talk about it. And so what the author was saying is that the more time you spend with a parable, the more meaning you'll find in that parable. And so Jesus is pretty clear about this in verse 10. He says, disciples, I teach you the truth. You have been told about the kingdom of God. You know the kingdom of God. But to everyone else, I talk in parables. And that's a little confusing to us. We are the disciples. We're the apostles. We're used to hearing the parables and religious talk. But what Jesus was also saying is, I am teaching those who do not know the truth. I am teaching to farmers. I am teaching to landowners. I am teaching to sharecroppers. And so what happens is the parable has two sides. The parable has the secular, the worldly understanding of the parable. And then the parable has the theological, the religious understanding of what the parable can mean. So the secular side, remember the story that I've been telling. There's a farmer from the beach. He has no idea how to farm. He wastes all of his seed on the sidewalk, on the rocky soil. He wastes his seeds in the weeds. And he only has like a quarter of what he had left, and that is what is planted in the good soil. Now, every single sower and every single farmer in this room, and probably back when Jesus was saying this, went, "Oh no. What is he doing farming?" Because let's say it's wheat. Now he's got to give a portion back to the landowner as rent. Now he's got to find a portion to eat himself. And then he's got to find whatever's left and sell it. And if he was expecting 100 seeds to plant and now only has 25 to plant, he's not going to have anything left. It gets even worse when we think about it, like I was explaining in El Salvador, where if he wasn't planting corn or wheat, but what if the farmer was planting cotton or coffee? Something that you can't eat, that the personal use has nothing, and you have to sell everything you have in order to feed yourself and to feed your family. And so what Jesus says is the kingdom of God, that God's grace is like this farmer who wasted all of the seeds, and yet, in the good soil, there was a bumper crop. In the good soil, the 25 seeds that were planted had a yield of 30 times what was expected. Had a yield of 60 times what was expected. Had a yield of 100 times what was expected. Now the sharecropper hearing that story is going, "Oh boy, this is going to be good." Because that amount of crop yield, that amount of harvest means that the sharecropper can go out and not just pay rent to the landowner, but that the farmer can go out and buy their own land. Can go out and now next year when they farm, all of the crop will be theirs. That God is taking care of us even when we mess up. That the sharecropper is hearing that even if I mess up, that God is still here for me. That is good news today. But Jesus says that to the disciples, I teach about the truth of the kingdom of God. And there's a deeper meaning to this parable. What Jesus says is that we are like the soils. That the seed is the word of God that has been sown in us. And that we are like the soil. That sometimes we are like the sidewalk. Sometimes when we receive the grace of God, the birds come off and it never sticks. That sometimes in our lives when we receive grace, when we receive the good news, we don't even have a chance to acknowledge it. Jesus is saying is that sometimes we are like the rocky soil. Sometimes the seed is planted. Sometimes we receive the good news of Jesus and that whatever happens, that we grow and we try to stretch and we try to be too much too quickly and that we overpower ourselves and that we overrun ourselves and that we fall because we have no root system. And as you said, sometimes we are like the soil with weeds. Sometimes the word has been planted. We are receiving and living as a Christian, but life starts to get in our way. We experience death. We experience frustration. We leave church and get in our car and receive a phone call from someone. We have greed and sin, and we struggle, and that the word can never produce fruit. Instead, the word and the love of God gets killed by the world that we live in. And then Jesus says, sometimes, a quarter of the time, life is good. A quarter of the time, everything falls into place. You receive the word. You receive the grace of God. You water the ground correctly, and that is the moment in which you can bear fruit. And the good news is that it's not just you bear as much as you received. Instead, God uses you for 30, 60, 100 times what you were expecting. That we can go through life and have struggles and frustrations and problems and death and illness and struggles. We lose our jobs and we have to move and we have struggles at school or at work and in all of those moments that nothing is working for us. Even if that's 75, even if that's 99% of the time, that one moment when we are in the good soil, God can perform miracles. God can perform miracles 30, 60, 100 times more than what we were expecting. God can perform miracles in ways that we never even thought were possible. It yields so much that it covers not just what we've lost, but enough that we can continue on. The parable this morning is simple. We cannot lose faith in the rocky soil. We cannot lose faith on the sidewalk. We cannot lose faith when surrounded by the weeds or the thorns or Satan or sin or greed or frustration. We cannot lose faith in those moments. Instead, we look toward the good soil. We look toward the time in which, when we are sufficient, when everything is lined up, when the world is working, that God will perform a miracle through us with 100 times yield. That God will perform a miracle in this church or in this community or in our personal lives or in our families or in our schools or in our workplaces that is 100 times more than what we were ever expecting. We take faith for those moments. Jesus says that we will face trials and tribulations as Christians. Being a Christian doesn't mean that everything just gets better. We're not removed from the world and brought to a place of happiness. But he says that in the bad places, we still have faith. In the times of our lives when everything feels like we cannot get out, when illness or frustration or job loss or struggles or family problems or marital problems or problems at school or problems at work that we feel as if we are being overwhelmed, we still have faith for the good soil. We still have faith in God because it's when we don't expect it that the miracles launch us into an entirely different direction. When we experience a bumper crop that brings in so much yield that we can buy land for ourselves. When we have a conversation that leads to a job or leads to help or leads to a new relationship or leads to something different when we least expect it. We must have faith. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our sermon this week. This has been a joint Broadway and Port Colden United Methodist Church process. My name is Pastor Jesse, the pastor of Broadway and Port Colden churches. We hope you've had a great time listening today and have a blessed week as you go about your day. Please think about stopping in and joining us one Sunday. We'd be happy to have you. If you have any questions about the churches, about the message, or anything else that you can think of, please reach out to us at info@broadwaynj.org or info@portcoldenumc.org. Thank you and have a great day.